just a second here. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel, in the life of David. We have looked numerous times taking gleanings from the life of David and really the story of the God of all grace in his life. And we come to a key moment in his life, which happens at the very beginning of 2 Samuel chapter 5. And then I will read to us some other passages that complement this reading. We're only going to look at the first five verses of 2 Samuel 5. A key moment has finally come. David is going to be made the king. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron, and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that led us out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron. And the king David, or King David, made a league or a covenant with them in Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. We'll stop there. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. I'll read this to us. Listen to what the prophets say. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Matthew chapter 21. Jesus Christ coming into Jerusalem for the last time. He will be taken and crucified. But listen as he comes into the city of Jerusalem. Verse 5, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. In verse 9, the multitudes that went before him and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Well, we began our study of David in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. And you remember, we began with David as a teenage young man, as a shepherd boy, the youngest of 8 sons, and out of nowhere, essentially, the prophet Samuel comes to him and anoints him. God says, that's going to be the king over all Israel. Saul's the king, but here's a teenage young man, and God's already saying, this is who the man's going to be. He goes from a teenage boy tending sheep to a mighty man leading Israel. We've seen this as we've hit the key scenes. Now, that's quite an advancement, is it not? You're just out in the fields as a runt brother, keeping sheep, and now he's the greatest man in Israel. But it's not of his own doing. It was the true living God, the God of Abraham and Isaac, the God who lives forever, who was ruling in David's life, bringing him from a boy or a teenage young man to the point of being the king, the greatest king that would ever reign in Israel. So finally, we get to see the great king get installed or His coronation, His recognition as the King, His anointing. Finally, we've been through all this, and it's all led up to this. So from an Old Testament perspective, this is one of the big moments of David coming into His kingship, His authority, His place, where He's recognized. He's not forcing the event. But, beloved, I'm not going to talk a lot about David today. If we were only seeing David as made king, we would miss the greater picture. Or shall I say, the greatest king. Saints, the greater picture here in 2 Samuel chapter 5 is the glory and supremacy of Jesus Christ as the king of all. It's undeniable. It's all descriptive here of the greater king that's coming. And that's the key thing I want us to see today. You know, we said at the outset of our study of David that he is a messianic type. He is a type or a picture of Messiah, Christ, as was Moses, as was Joseph, and different ones in the Old Testament. But David being king is the picture of Jesus Christ, the one true king. And so, now that we get to David being put in the place of a king, we come to the greater picture, which is Jesus Christ, the preeminent one. So here, as we look at this picture here with David and these leaders from across Israel, the different leaders, candidly, leaders who had never wanted to acknowledge his position. As we look at this, I want us to look at the words, the phrases they use, particularly the titles that are descriptive of the preeminence of Christ. They use phrases that are titles of Christ who would come and reign forever. This is really quite a wonderful picture and proclamation of the glory of Jesus Christ. So, there are four aspects of this that we see here in the text in 2 Samuel chapter 5. And that's why I wanted us to touch on the prophetic words of Jeremiah and then the words of the people in Jesus' day that said, there's one coming, he's here. Or in the Jeremiah passage, he's coming. And in the New Testament passage in the Gospel of Matthew, he's here. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. The Christ, the King, the one true King. So four aspects of this I want us to briefly look at today. First one, from the text in 2 Samuel chapter 5, Christ is our deliverer. Now, look at the phrase of what the tribes of Israel, what they say to him, we are thy bone and thy flesh. That's the end of verse 1. We, they say, behold, David, we are like you. We are like you. We're kinsmen. We're connected to you. We are brothers. You're bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. And then he says, also in time past, when Saul was the king, you were the one who led us out and brought us in. Speaking of being a deliverer, David's not even the king and he's already functioning as a deliverer. He's a keeper of Israel. Now, I didn't quite get the timeline square on this until recently in my reading. But from the death of Saul, which was right there at the end of 1 Samuel, until now, it's been about 7 years. It's not 2 months or 3 weeks or something. There is a gap in time where Israel essentially is in confusion because Saul has been killed. Philistines and other enemies of theirs are making war all the time. But there was also war among Saul's men in the different tribes of Israel against David. For 7 years, there was resistance. You want to call it rebellion. There's rebellion in the land against God's king, or the king that would ultimately be seen as God's man. Now, think of this. Here come these leaders. They come to David and they say, you know what? You are bone of our bone. We're kinsmen. We're men of the same tribe or the same people. And it's you, even though we serve Saul, it's you that brought us out and took us back in. You led us. You are our deliverer. You rescued us from our enemies. Now, you see the pictures here? You see where he's going? They're going in this? They saw him as the one that represented or was connected to them. Not a stranger and not an enemy. He was the one that they identified with as their man and their deliverer. The fact of the matter is, Israel would have probably been crushed and severed or destroyed in many ways without David being in the land. He was already delivering their people, helping them. And yet these men, these other men who had been against him, did not acknowledge it. Now think of this. Think of the picture that this gives us of Jesus Christ, the deliverer. All of us, remember the Isaiah passage, all of us are like sheep which have gone astray, right? All of us wander in this earth, doing our own thing, resisting the one true authority, which is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. That's true in any country. Men spend their days rebelling against the true King and the true deliverer, which is Jesus Christ. And He doesn't wait, as some people say. Why don't you choose Jesus and one day you get it right with Him? He'll wait on you. That's not what He does. He comes and delivers us. David wasn't passive. Jesus Christ has never been passive. He's always active. He came. He said, I came to seek and save that which was lost, right? I didn't come for those that well, I came for those that are sick. I came to deliver. And here we have men against David who finally come to David and said, you're the one that led us out. You're the one that brought us back in. You're our deliverer. The Christian knows that Jesus Christ is truly their only deliverer. The only one that rescues. You get this, beloved? You see this? The only one that comes and rescues us. That can rescue us. The only one who's purchased our redemption. And so when we used to live in resistance and rebellion, now we say, no more. You're the one. We come unto You. You're the deliverer. You're the one that leads us and takes us and brings us out of it. Have you ever met somebody that got out of prison or came out of some horrific background and God redeemed them? And they talk about, He came and took me out of that. Rescued me. Out of it. Well, that's the picture of any of us that have been redeemed. You were without hope. You were in the land rebelling against the King of the land. That's why I love Bunyan's The Holy War so much. The Holy War has King El Shaddai and his son, the picture of Jesus Christ, coming to rescue the people. So He's a deliverer. We, beloved, we followed the Sauls of this world. The Sauls of this world are spinning around, not doing what God has them to do. They're in rebellion. They're in the bondage of sin. There are many, 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 countless places in the earth, in systems, in organizations, in things and events of this earth that are all about rebellion and all about just living in the land with utter resistance against what is true and what is right. All of us. And Jesus Christ came and delivered us. There's no way we could have been rescued. Paul said in Colossians that Jesus Christ delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of Himself or His dear Son in Christ. You see that? He has delivered us from the power of darkness, or essentially from the power of rebellion and complete lawlessness against Jesus Christ, and has delivered us. Later in the book of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer expresses that Satan used to be our master, or Satan was the power that we were under, and that Jesus Christ came to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Do you meet people and talk to people who are subject to bondage? Ron's going around visiting with people in your neighborhood. You're meeting people who are in bondage. They won't see it that way. They're in bondage. They're in bondage. Because they're in bondage to sin. They are strangers in the land. You see what I'm saying? Beloved, the picture is Jesus Christ is the one true deliverer. These little signs that you see when you drive on the road that have little phrases about churches and Christ and other things, they tend to be oftentimes very trite and superficial, are they not? And we're talking humanity lost without hope, that a Savior, God, comes in the flesh and delivers human beings from the complete destruction of Satan and sin. And that's the picture here. 7 years these men think they're going to rise up and fight against David. And finally, they come to him and say, you're the one who led us out, and you're the one who takes us back in. without you would have been destroyed. So first, Christ alone is our deliverer. Second, look at their next phrase, verse 2. Middle of verse 2. And the Lord said unto thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel. The second picture of Jesus Christ is He's the one true shepherd. Thou shalt feed my people Israel. They're saying to David, these men who had rebelled against David, had fought against David, much bloodshed. They now say to David, you actually are our protector. You're not against us, you're our protector. In fact, you have true shepherding responsibility for all of us. Now, we don't probably connect to the picture of a shepherd as much because we just don't see it. Some people in Europe and other countries where there's a lot of sheep industry would see this more powerfully, perhaps. But here, I mean, these are men, valiant men, men of war, men of the different tribes of Israel. They have fought and killed countless men and others, people that were representing David's side. And they now say, we want you to feed us. We want you to be the one who shepherds us. They needed care. What a change. And you'll hear men who used to blaspheme God, hated Jesus Christ, only used His name in vain, only despised, rejected, made mockery of Jesus Christ. You will see them when they're redeemed and when Christ becomes their Savior, they say, He's my shepherd. He feeds me. They don't boast in their own power anymore. It's incredible. It's divine. It's God working. They say, you're our shepherd. You're the shepherd. We need to be fed of you. When a Christian's been awakened, when they realize that Jesus Christ is that for them, they don't think of anybody else as a shepherd. They say, He's the true shepherd. He's the one. And they're not going to follow any others. These men right here say, David's the man. We're going to follow him. He's the one who's going to protect us, and he's going to be the one who feeds us. God has set him apart. I'm stunned how often in our conversation with people, people like to submit other alternatives for salvation, other men, other representatives for salvation other than Jesus Christ. It's a failed argument. There is one shepherd. There's one deliverer. And Jesus Christ is it. Christianity doesn't negotiate with anybody. I've heard of other men who get in front of cameras and get on live TV interviews. And when they're asked, are you saying that Jesus Christ is the only way? They often waffle. You know, God loves man. And the answer is yes, because we just quote what He said. It's not under our authority, it's under His authority. So He's the one true shepherd. He's the only one that can feed. He's the only one that can nourish anybody. A Christian says, I'm not going to follow anybody else. Why would I follow anybody else? This is the one true shepherd. I don't have anybody else that gives me nourishment. Now, beloved, that staggers people of the world. They say to you, you really believe He is the one. You read about Him. You have communion with Him. He is in you. He teaches you. He gives you spiritual food. He keeps your life. He carries you. He lets you go out. He lets you come. He's with you. Yes, that's Jesus Christ. Now, that's a long way from Jesus. Get Jesus in your life. Maybe bring Him in someday. Out with that idea. He is a shepherd. A shepherd is always watching for his flock. David was watching for all of Israel in a true way. But the glory of Jesus Christ is leaping off the page. What a shepherd. The nourishment. You don't get that from the New York Times. You don't get that from the modern blip information. You don't get nourishment for the soul. As you do from Him. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arms and carry them in His bosom. Isaiah. We're not talking about David. We're not talking about a natural shepherd. We're talking about Jesus Christ. He shall feed His flock. Beloved, we're fed of Him. He shall gather us in His arms, and He will carry us. So the preeminence of Jesus Christ is the great shepherd. He said about Himself, I am the Good Shepherd. You remember this in John chapter 10. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. David gave his life for Israel in a true way. True pastors, men of God, give their life for the sheep because they follow the one true shepherd. They're all His sheep. All of you in Jesus Christ are His. No other man owns you. You don't go to any other man to get cleansing from sin. You don't have anybody else that can deal with that. All that idea is a lie. It's deception. There's one shepherd, and He is the sheep that carries us and nourishes us. It's glorious. It's so central on Him, on Jesus Christ. We live in an America that's trying to negotiate many gods. All the way from way up at the political system, which I'd call the White House and administration people there, all the way down to the guy that owns the local convenience store. Many, many ways to God. It's a lie. There's one great shepherd. There's one deliverer. And then all of a sudden we come in and we say to him, wait a minute, Jesus Christ is it. And they go, wow, that's exclusive. Yes! Now we're getting back to the reality. It's exclusive because Jesus Christ purchased it. He owns us. You go find the Israelites of today, the Jewish people of today, and you talk to them about David and argue with them. Now, there's really many Davids. You guys talk about David, but really there's many great kings through the history of the world. David was okay. He was one of them. I'm telling you, Jewish people will get angry with you. They will get angry with you because they say, no, there's one David. There was one like that. They're just setting themselves up for a big problem. Because then there's one David greater. Right? And it's Jesus Christ. David's offspring to come was the true king. The eternal king. No more elections. Nobody else is going to be put in that office. So He's the shepherd. Let me ask you, do you know daily the reality of the shepherding of Jesus Christ in your life? Do you know what it means to get nourishment? Do you know what it's like to be hungry for something, for truth? Do you know what that's like? And He just feeds you, He gives you truth. He speaks to you, He gives you nourishment. A Christian says, yes, I know that. I need that. I have to have that. Do you get protection? Do you know that He's protecting you? Beloved, I'm 150 yards behind a 4- or 5-car accident 3 days ago. I saw the whole thing happen like it was in slow motion. You think it was not the mercies of God in my life or your life that keeps us? You could be burying me tomorrow. My going out and coming in and yours is by the grace of Jesus Christ. I'm His. You're His. He's our shepherd. He keeps us. He protects us. Shepherds don't sit over here doing their blackberry while the sheep get ravished. They don't. Shepherds love the flock. They protect them. They're clued in. They're watching. Moms and dads and people who care for children, they're paying attention. Wow, we've got this Savior that's always with us, always protecting us from danger. Who knows what we were kept from this week? That's just one thing I saw. I was listening to some music, I was having a great time with the Lord, and that happened in front of my eyes, and it just sobered me, it scared me. Cars all of a sudden hitting and sliding and hammering into the wall, 60, 70 miles an hour. And I'm just crying out to God, Lord, keep me. And you're just, you know what it's like, you're just slowing and you're trying to figure out who's going to hit who. And then He just takes me right through it. And I'm silenced. He protects us. We're talking the shepherd, the true shepherd. And He tends our wounds. You get snagged in the fence. You get hurt. You have things happen. The sheep have to be cared for. They have to be cared for. And that's what Jesus Christ does for us. He cares for us. So He's the true shepherd. He delivers us. He delivers us as the people that He owns. And now He cares for us. So He didn't say, well, somebody look after them, I'll be back. No. He's there. He's shepherding us. Taking care of us. Too many people in our day think they have to depend on some pastor or some religious man. As though He's the one. You need Jesus Christ. All that a pastor is trying to encourage and help and provoke and stimulate and feed and bless and encourage God's people. But the one you need is the true shepherd. You know what that means. He's the one that carries you. He's the one that guards you. So that's the second reality. Look at the third reality, the title of they speak of David, it speaks of Jesus Christ. The third one says, the end of verse 2, "Thou shalt be a captain over Israel." I think the ESV has captain. I don't know what the NASB has. The NIV says ruler. Does anybody have that? I don't. "You shall be a captain." The third title is Jesus Christ is our Lord. We'll settle this one. He is the Lord. These men, again, these men of Israel, these men who had been fighting against David, who have come to him, they say, "We followed Saul's leadership before, and it has only brought us ruin." And that's what Led Zeppelin and alcohol and cocaine and the quest of money and sexual perversions and collecting cars and all the other vanities of this world will end in ruin. They're Saul's. They're following things that will not satisfy your soul. They will not, as Piper wrote in his book. Don't waste your life on those things. Don't. Don't. And here are men who say, "David, you're now the captain. You're the one we're going to follow. You're the one who's in control. You're the ruler. Everything we've been through cost us ruin." So here we have the reality of Jesus Christ is the Lord. We don't wait for the United Nations to approve that. We don't wait for people in churches to finally vote on it. He is Lord. He is. So they see that God had chosen him. He's, you know, he's the one that God put. "And the Lord said to thee," that's what they actually say to David, "that you will feed my people Israel and you will be a captain." You will have authority over Israel. You know, sometimes I reflect back on my younger teenage years and growing up, and I don't know that I was hearing them as clearly as I should have, but some of these truths that are just staggering, they're so overwhelming, the truth of them, makes the gospel of Jesus huge and big and incredible. Not a change of life, not joining a church, not getting a fancy tattoo or the latest Christian rock song. Isn't it bigger than that? I said to somebody recently, Christianity's about the next CD that comes out? You've got to be kidding me. We're talking about God in the flesh coming and communing with us. Come on. That's all we want? Man. When He's the Lord, when He's the captain, when He's the ruler, that is massive how big that is. He's with us. He's our leader. And they realize, these men realize with David, you know, if we go against Him, we're in opposition against God's man. We are in opposition to God's man if we don't submit. I preach that in the bars, sports assembly rooms, drinking strong drink today. Go in and say to them, if you don't follow Jesus Christ and embrace Him as the Lord, you are against the Almighty, and you're going to end in ruin. It's over. But when you water it down, well, you know, He'll wait on you. It makes the truth of Jesus Christ just kind of irrelevant. Not a big deal. I'm not in any hurry to get things right. I'm enjoying my life of sin. I'd rather wander around living like Saul's men did, doing my own thing. No reason to go find David and follow him. What happens is, when those people of the world look around and their Sauls and the people they're following start getting spears put through them and they start burying them and death is reigning and their enemy is triumphing over them, then they start getting desperate. And y'all have heard me allude to the scene of the Woodstock generation. I guess that's just captivated me again because it's such a picture of that whole generation, the boomers. God has had mercy on people of that age like He's had throughout the generations. But for all practical purposes, you look at the generation that said, we want to make the captain of the Lord of our life ourselves. We want to do it ourselves. So the gospel of Jesus Christ comes absolutely against that. He is the captain. He is the one. He is the Lord of your life. And the Christian joyfully acknowledges that. It's not a battle. It's not a debate. I mean, you're changed, beloved. You're changed from one master. Your captain before was Satan. And now the captain of your life as a Christian is Jesus Christ. He is the Lord. He is the absolute master over you. That offends people, doesn't it? It does offend people. For us, it's the most liberating, joyful place you could live in. We're talking about God, who all that He does is holy. He only wants your good. He would never take you down the path that would hurt you. What is wrong about that? Is that not the best captain or the best prince that there is over us? Yes, it is. So you've had a change of masters. When Paul was preaching in Acts, he said that God hath made that same Jesus, the one that he was pointing to that he crucified, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. He is the Lord. What happened there in Acts 2 is many of those men, many of those people were convicted and they said, we're done. The captain has come. The Lord of all has been set forth and we have rejected Him. But the Christian has completely been taught now to say, Thou art the Christ. You are my Lord. 1 Timothy 6, his title, speaking of Jesus Christ, Paul says to Timothy, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus Christ is the Lord. Joyfully and regularly, you say that to Him, do you not? Every day. Lord, I'm yours. You've redeemed me. Lord, have mercy on me. Take me your way. Keep me from evil. Show me your way. You're the one I want to follow. You're the one I want to go. You're the one I want to please. What do I do today? Well, how do I walk? How do I make this decision? How do I go and talk to these people daily? It's permeate. You see, beloved, being Lord of our life, think of all that means in your daily life, in my daily life. Think of that. Wow. Incredible. It's a constant lordship of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit showing us how to live. How to live a godly life. Because everything is against us. Out there, everything is against us. This culture in this world is under the wicked one. Its master is Satan. There went you and I, but by the grace of God. We have been delivered by Jesus Christ. We are being shepherded, fed, nourished, cared for. And we're under His lordship. He will arise. He protects us. I can't communicate strongly or clear enough the glory of what these are telling us right here. This is not about David. This is about the one who's coming. A one greater than David has come. It's Jesus Christ, the Lord of all. So in your daily life, you're always growing in the reality of submitting to His lordship. Isn't it staggering that there is a theological debate whether Jesus Christ is Lord? You can have Him as a Savior, but He's not your Lord. Man, what are you saying? God has already declared Him Lord. He's both Lord and Christ. It's just incredible. The reality of what these men were saying to David is, you're already in that position. See, we don't get to vote. Part of our thoughts as Americans is, we get to make that decision, right? We pick who does this, who does this. Nope. I'm changing my plan on this because I get to pick. I'm the customer. I'm always getting to pick. And so we act like Jesus Christ is simply moves or does things at our demand. It's wrong. He is the Lord. These men didn't come to David and decide that maybe he would be put up as their captain or their prince. They already said, God's done it. And that's what the Christian does. They fall down before Jesus Christ and say, Thou art the Christ. That's the third title. The fourth. And it's where we began and it's where we'll end. Jesus Christ is our King. Keep reading. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league or a covenant with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. All of it. The whole thing. David had already been anointed king by God's prophet. In other words, his role or his office had already been established by God when he was about a 16-year-old young man. But we've spent about 14 years of events and a lot of bloodshed and a lot of rebellion, and they have finally seen that is the man. But he was already declared the king by God. Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the King past, present, and future, and he will always be that. There is nobody else that's going to mutiny against him. He's not going to get taken out of that office. It does not matter of the paganism in our day or political movements. Jesus Christ is the King. Doesn't matter what happens in Rome, if you know what I mean, connect the dots. Doesn't matter. There is no other institution that's going to trump him. He reigns. He rules. You don't go through any other men. He's the King. You report to the King. He is the King. He will always be the King. And that angers people because they don't want to submit to him. They don't want to bow the knee that Jesus Christ is the King. But we cannot hold back, beloved. We have to declare him for who he is. He is the King. When Brother Ron talks to people and shares literature, you're bringing them to the kingship of Jesus Christ. When you talk to your children, when you talk to the friends of your children, when you talk to teenagers, if I might say punks, who might listen to you for a little bit, just tell them Jesus Christ is it. Please, young men, turn from your ways. Every now and then you'll catch a teenager who, hidden under a bunch of tattoos and a bunch of misery, they might stop and listen to you like, somebody's got to tell me something that really lasts. You just don't you pity the people that are bound in that? You know, I still reflect back at times in my younger years, and I see you were like a sheep that had no guide, or you're pitiful, you're hopeless, and here comes the King of Glory to rescue and deliver you, to feed you, to be the Lord of your life, and to reign over you as King forever. Now that's a gospel. That's a powerful gospel to save. Yesterday, today, and forever. Don't need a new fix. Don't need a new thing. Don't need a new tweak to it. He doesn't change. He's the King. You realize these men that came to David didn't say, you know, I guess we're just stuck with you, David. You know, I'm just tired of doing things. Somebody comes in. I think I'll just go to church with you. I'll just try what you have to offer. Okay. If that's it, that's all I've got. No, that's not Christianity. When you come to see that he's the King, you say it. Y'all know Jason Sidler, right? Some of you do. And I've told you, Kristen, I saw Jason Sidler's life 30 years ago when he was converted in the late 70s, and he told everybody, still is, 30 years later. But he didn't act like he had been back into a new king. He acted like the great king had apprehended him and said, I'm going to make you one of mine. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's the true king. They didn't feel like they're backed in. Do you feel like you got kind of had to just, well, I guess I'll just have to try this Christianity. Out with that. You know, he was already the king. And they saw now that his office was superior. And they came to honor him as such. By the grace of God, in my late teen years, I never went to one of those big concerts where they were passing drugs and absolutely living in debauchery. I'm just saying by the grace of God. But you know what I knew down deep inside? I thought, why would I go to that? It won't give me anything that satisfies. I mean, I knew then in my conscience that Jesus Christ was it. I'm not interested in the Book of Mormon. I'm not interested in what the Muslims offered. I'm not interested in false gods. I'm not interested in statues and buildings and pagan rituals and stuff. I'm not interested in that. The King of Glory has us. Why would we go anywhere else? He has the words of life. Why would we say to others, well, let's just put ours in there and see what you like. Which king do you think you want to pick? He trumps them all. He crushes them all. It's foolishness. Men who are alleged preachers ought to be stopped. Stop. You're not true to the gospel. Jesus Christ is it. When you have a soft, weak gospel, you have a soft, weak salvation, which means nothing to people. And they wreck their lives. Well, I tried Jesus. Try Jesus Christ. That's one of the most ignorant, pathetic statements of our generation. You can try a different car model. You can try a different mutual fund. You can try a different medicine. And you can see if it helps you or if there's some benefit to you. But don't try another king. There is one king. One king who reigns forever and ever. We're not stuck with him. You're not having to by default, well, I guess I better go follow him. No. They saw David's office as superior. What Saul should have been, he was not. What David is because God's with him. They went to him. They came to him and honored him as such. And people ought to see that in you. They ought to hear you talk that way. They ought to hear you sing that way. They ought to see you write letters that way or emails. They ought to hear grace in the glory of Jesus Christ and who you are. They ought to see you turn and look at them with a smile or a look in your eye and they think, oh, he loves Jesus Christ. He gets excited about that. They ought to see that in us. They ought to see it in our marriages that Jesus Christ is central in how we love each other. They ought to see it in how we love our children, how we nurture our children. We speak of Jesus Christ. He's preeminent. He made them. He made us. He made everything. It's just we've got a little bitty kind of a fake Jesus model going around America. That's the problem. Big problem. Here he is, the King of Glory. Forever. For him as such. Greater picture here is Jesus Christ. He is the reigning King of Kings. Go to the book of Revelation and see the statements. He is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He shall reign forever and ever. Men don't make him that. We don't have elections for Jesus to remain king. Out with that concept. He is the king. Men are simply brought in by the grace of God to bow before him as the king who was ruling, who rules today, and who will rule tomorrow and forever. And that's what happens. That's what a child of God sees, and they recognize he is the king. They don't argue for their own rights because he's loved them, purchased them. There is none like him, beloved. There is no other true king. I'm not interested in what Hollywood has to offer or Wall Street has to offer or the latest cinematography has to offer or whatever else is being offered in society. Jesus Christ is it. We report to him. He's everything. And that's the picture. That's what's happening right here. They made him or recognized him in that point in time as the true king. And they made a covenant, meaning they said, we will follow you. You're the one. So what God had already declared in David's life 14 years before now, he simply shows before the whole world, that being the world of Israel. So, beloved, 2 Samuel 5 is the foreshadow of the preeminence of Jesus Christ. It's not just a historic moment that we say, okay, this is unique that David now finally has become king. That's part of it. It is unique. There's things to come. We'll keep going. But what it does for us is it shows us that Jesus Christ is where this is all going towards. That's what we could never miss about the Old Testament. The Old Testament speaks in these pictures and types. And the greater reality is the gospel of Jesus Christ and His kingdom that we're in. So we always look and we see this Old Testament story and God's events and God's movement and the reality of it coming to fruition in the New Testament. Praise God for so great a Savior. He is our deliverer. He brings us out of captivity or out of struggles with our enemies, and He brings us in. He's our deliverer. Second, He is our shepherd. We follow Him. We stay under Him. He feeds us. He nourishes us. He protects us. He guards us. Jesus Christ is our Lord. He's the prince or the captain over us. So He's with us in every way, and He guards us, and He shows us how to live as His subjects or as His people because He's the Lord of our life. And lastly, He's the King of Glory. He will forever be king. You don't slip in and out of it. When you're in His kingdom and under His great rule, it's your greatest place of joy and purpose. That is the greatest meaning in any of your lives, is to be following the King of Glory. Declare it. Live it. Walk in it. The King is here. The King is with us. King owns us. He's right here today. He's ruling, the King of glory, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Blessed be His name. Let's pray. Father, how great a Savior we have. Lord Jesus Christ, You are the Christ. You are the true reigning Savior of the world. Our Deliverer, our Shepherd, our Lord, and our King. You have the words of life. You triumphed over death and sin. You were raised from the dead. You reign forever. You have ascended. You're coming again. All the kingdoms of this earth will fail. All the men of this earth will die. All the gimmicks of this world will be exposed. You will reign triumphant. You are the most glorious One. And we say, praise be to Your holy name. Thank You, Lord, that David was a picture and a foreshadow of Your preeminence, Your Word, and Your declared truths to us are staggering and wonderful and so helpful. Lord, teach us more and more of these realities in our life and how You care for us and how You shepherd us. Teach us, Lord, in Your reigning over us, how to walk in a holy way, how to walk worthy of Your name, how to honor Your authority over us. Lord, blessed be Your name. If any are here today who have never been brought out and delivered, Lord, have mercy on them today. Bring them forth as new, redeemed vessels to the King of Kings. We bless You and bow before You.